Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch with your anointing and your blessings. Father, we give you praise for that we receive in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, I lied a while ago. Some of y'all are going to think about that because some of you did. You looked at your neighbor and said, I'm beautiful. Glory. The average human brain weighs approximately 3 pounds. Contains somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 billion brain cells. That's normal. Each of these brain cells connects to over 10,000 different circuits, giving you 120 trillion connections out of your brain into your body. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Dr. Dwayne Kish, one of the great observers of the human brain, made this statement that the human brain is probably the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. Of everything God's created, your brain is the most complex thing for man to do. We can transplant hearts, we can transplant livers and kidneys and everything else, but they've not transplanted a brain yet and made it work. I know, Frankenstein did it, but the monster didn't make it. Come on, church, smile at me. And that was only in the movies. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, not only is the brain the most complex mechanism in the entire universe, it's also the most influential organ in our body. The human brain accounts for the ability to think, the ability to remember, the ability to love, the ability to hate, the ability to feel, the ability to reason, and the ability to imagine and to analyze. Everything we see, hear, touch, and smell is recorded in the lobes of our mind. Our mind has segments that we can't even reach without help. We all have a subconscious mind, and it functions. It can actually make our body work without us even realizing it. Hello? Amen. You know, there are things called subliminal messages. They are messages that may be put in movie theaters or whatever that would shoot across the screen so fast your eyes wouldn't catch them, but yet your brain would. And to prove these things work, the scientists went in and they went to a movie theater one night, and on the screen, just 1/132nd or 1/1000th of a second, they flashed something up, said, you're hungry, eat popcorn. Popcorn sales tripled that night. Everybody, for some reason, felt like they had to have popcorn. I know some of you say, well, that's a coincidence. That's what the people said. So the scientists decided to prove that it was beyond a doubt that theory was true. They put on the screen the next night, you're thirsty, drink Pepsi Cola. You say, well, what's that got to do with it? They didn't sell Pepsi Cola at the theater. But yet they had people stand at the door getting money from folks going across the road buying Pepsi Cola at the store and bringing it back and giving it to the folks in the theater because they would not drink the Coke products because they wanted Pepsi. You say, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. That's the reason the government passed a law to take subliminal messages out of your commercials on TV. Philip Morris used to put them on the cigarette commercials. And while you were watching the commercial, it was telling you needed cigarettes, and you'd suddenly have an urge to go buy cigarettes and buy them by the hundreds, and people got hooked on cigarettes because of subliminal messages. You say, well, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. That's why they took it out. Amen. Do you not realize that your subconscious brain actually controls you sometimes without you thinking about it? How many of you have been riding down the road listening to music and suddenly realized you were speeding? Because some fast song came on and you didn't think about it, you just eased the accelerator down. That is not abnormal. When you go to the mall, ladies, when you're there and there's a crowd, you ever notice they got fast music on? It's because it will speed you up. If there's not a lot of people in the store, they play that music, makes you want to just kind of meander around and slope around and look, because you better chance of buying if you ain't in a hurry. Hello? Muzak's made a killing doing it. Why do you think they do it? Because they figured out it makes your brain function. You say, what are you trying to tell me, preacher? I'm trying to tell you the brain is what controls your body. The human brain houses an intuition and conscience. Amen. It drives us with what we have going in our life. Amen. We are at the point where we need to understand the brain is an important part. Listen to what the smartest man ever lived said in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Let me change that word. As he thinks in his mind, so is he. If you think you're defeated, you're defeated. If you think you can make it, you can make it. I don't know why, but we've got some people, if you gave them $100, they'd gripe about it being wrinkled. But I'm the type of person, if you gave me $100, I'd be excited and figure it was worth $1,000. Amen. I look at a half full glass and I think it's half full. You look at it and go, well, that's half empty. Come on, church. It's a difference in the way we think, but the way you think is what makes you who you are. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? No, this is a degree in which we obtain the mind of Christ. We need to get to that place where we get the mind of Christ. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? When we train our minds to become the mind of Christ, we'll find ourselves well on the way to personal renewal, because we will begin to think, act, and to do the things Jesus Christ himself would do. Come on, church. Amen. You don't have to wear a bracelet. I don't think Jesus had a bracelet that he looked at every time saying, what would I do? Glory. Boy, some of y'all hard act this morning. Y'all just... We got people wearing it. What would Jesus do? You don't have to think about it. When you get the mind of Christ, you begin to think like Christ. You don't have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Because you've got your mind on him, you will do what he says do. Somebody said, now, preacher, prove that. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, preacher, what is that all about? It's understanding how to train my mind to walk in the presence of God and have a renewed mind. By the way, the sermon this morning is a renewed mind, having the mind of Christ. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice what he says. He said, this being your reasonable service. He said, what are you talking about? We need to come to that place where we understand that God has said conforming to the world is not a possibility for the Christian. We need to get to that place we conform to Christ, and we transform our brain from what we used to think to what we need to think. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are you talking about? The point here is really simple. The pattern of conformity to the world is broken. Our lives are transformed, and then we begin to walk like Christ. We begin to think like Christ. Come on, church. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When I was a boy or a kid, I thought like a kid. As I got older, I began to think different. I don't act different. Somebody told me, said, you act like a kid. I ain't gonna act like the old folks. When I'm 80 years old, I'm still going to get on the ground and roll around with kids if I'm able. Glory. That's my greatest desire, is to be playing football at 90. Amen. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. The truth of the matter is, though, we need to understand the way I thought before I got saved was not correct. I had some problems. Amen. Some of y'all may not have had them, but I did. Man, that's how come I became a drug addict and alcoholic. That's how I ended up where I was. But I had to transform the way I thought. I had to change my thinking. I had to renew my mind. I had to cleanse myself of what I thought was right and wrong, and put in the process of what God said was right and wrong. And suddenly my life began to take a different view. And suddenly I began to realize what was right and wrong. My choices were what put me where I was. And when I started making better choices, my life began to turn around. Could you say amen to that, church? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, church, when before I got saved, I had a pretty good life. I can't complain. I did not become a drug addict and alcoholic because I had a bad home life. I had a pretty good home life. In school, I did okay. I just stayed in trouble all the time. Truth of the matter is, the biggest problem I had in school was them trying to make me be something I didn't want to be. They said, you can be anything you want to be. I didn't want to be nothing. Hello? I'd go to the counselor, you're the biggest waste of potential ever seen in my life. I'd look up and say, super chicken, leave me alone. Glory. Y'all may not understand that, but our counselor looked just like the cartoon character Super Chicken. He wore glasses, a little skinny guy, his head bigger than his body, and we'd make fun of him. Of course, he's a Baptist preacher now, and he's one of my good friends. Glory. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I had to change the way I thought. I had to change my lifestyle. You say, what are you getting at? We got to understand that that's the way it is. You see, church, what we need to understand, there are two basic areas that we need to concentrate on to be able to find the experience of renewal. First is our goal. Second is the outcome. We need to ask ourselves, am I really going where I want to go with the choices I'm making in my life? And we need to find out before we get there. Hello? Ain't nothing wrong to getting on a road and finding out that ain't the road you want to be on, no matter who told you how to get there. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were headed to Montana. I'm following OnStar. That's the satellite that takes you the closest way, the best way. We're running down the interstate. OnStar don't know the interstate's underwater. We get in Iowa, the state of perfect nothingness. So I'm a Buddhist. I've been there. Glory. Amen. We get there and all of a sudden there's a sign, road closed. Went and asked us, how long is it going to be closed? He said, I don't know, it's been closed for a few weeks. And they said it could be a couple of years. There's three bridges totally gone. Amen. I said, well, how do you get from here to there? He said, you can't. Finally, they gave us some directions. We went several back roads, and believe me, when I say back roads, we went some back roads. And we finally got around that place. So when we left, we told them we want to go a different way. Amen. We're going to be Christian about this. We went there, but we're returning a different way. Amen. The different way was about 300 miles longer. And when you're already driving 20-some hundred miles, you don't need to add 300 to it. Amen. But we got to see all of Montana just about it. Then we got to crisscross Wyoming. You come through Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas and Missouri. Amen. And when we finally got home, we were so glad to be here. Amen. But you know, church, the reality is when we started up the road, we thought we had the right directions. We thought we were going to the right place. And we've got folks in the church that you've made decisions thinking you're going the right way, but you haven't stopped to ask yourself, is where I'm going where I want to be? You say, what are you talking about? Your tomorrow's right now. It's not next year. It's not 20 years from now. If you don't start making preparations for your tomorrow, you're going to get there and wish you'd have done something about today. That's what it's all about. When we get our mind renewed in Christ, we get direction from Him. We begin to follow Him, and when we do so, God begins to take us where we need to go. Could you say amen? Amen? Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul said. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Oh. I used to go to church and jump up. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. And I'd be going, man, I can't wait till I graduate. Put me a star by my name and sit there and don't do nothing no more. Glory. Some of y'all missed that. Can I throw something in that won't cost you nothing? I'm sick of folk telling me they too old to work. Y'all got the Joshua syndrome. I got to work on a sermon with that. Joshua turned around and said, I'm 85 years old. I can't fight no more. Caleb said, I'm the same age as you are, but I'm taking that mountain over yonder because I'm not giving up. God's still with me. Come on, church. Amen. I learned school buses. I used to run school buses, bring kids to church. You know who taught me bus ministry? An 85-year-old woman in Mississippi. Like to have killed me. I told Brother Hall, I said, I ain't quit going over. The one's running me to death. Four buses, 145 people a Sunday she's bringing to church. They sent me over to learn how to do bus ministry. And I'm like, man, that woman's got more energy than I do, and I'm 20. Glory. She's like, kill me. So I don't want to hear this about, I can't do nothing. You can if you take a notice you want to. I knew it's going to get quiet, but I need some amens from some of y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Glory. Amen. You youngins ought to be amen and amen when I'm wearing y'all out. Glory. Amen. But I noticed something. Paul writes 2/3 of the New Testament. He's in a hole in the ground waiting on him to cut his head off. And notice what he said. I count not myself to have arrived. You know what he said? He said, I still ain't graduated. I'm going, man, I read that, done some research, found out what he was saying. It just totally disheartened me that I wasn't going to be able to graduate. But every time I get out of class, he's got another course for me to take. Every time I get another degree, we got another course we got to take. Every time I think I made it, he got something else for me to learn. Can I tell you that is what it's all about? But Paul said, hey, there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget about what I used to be, and I'm going to put my mind on God. And notice what he said, I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to let go of what I used to be and start working on tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Today is about to pass away. But if I prepare today, my tomorrow is going to be awesome. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Three things, and I'm going to hurry. First and foremost, we must know Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, mentions the deep secrets of God and quotes the prophets to show that no one can really know the depth of God's mind yet. There's an exception to the rule. Those who are spiritually minded. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Did you hear what he said? He said, man, what we got to do is get to that place where when you talk about stuff like faith, it's not just talk. It's a lifestyle. It's something you live, because you're not thinking God can do it. You're not believing God can do it, but you come to that place where you know that you know that you know that there may not be a bridge there, but my God's going to make a way. There may not be nothing I can do, but my God has the power. The world's not going to understand it. They're going to think it's strange. But let's face it, if they understood what we're supposed to understand, they wouldn't be in the world. Come on, church. When a doctor says there's nothing he can do, they're still God. I know somebody said, well, I've heard that preach. It's time we start believing it again. Brother Mike Woods has been here. Some of y'all met him. He's preached here at the church. He's the one that brings the jumping stuff. He was in a motorcycle accident, thrown almost 300-something yards off the motorcycle over the backstop of a ball field. Lands, and he said, all I could see was third base. I couldn't move. He said, I'm awake. I never lost consciousness. They carry him to UAB. They do all kind of stuff to him. Finally, the doctor walks in his room, and he said, son, I'm sorry. You'll never walk again. You will probably never use your arms. Hopefully, with a little therapy, we can get some of you using your arms back. He looked at me and said, you get out of my room. Get my pastor in here. So all of a sudden, they go get the pastor, Brother Alan Kendrick from the Oasis of Praise in Bessemer. Alan walks into the hospital. The doctor takes him outside and says, you need to help us now. You need to go in and talk to this guy. He needs to understand. He's damaged to the point he's not going to get well. He will never walk again. He probably will never have use of his hands, and you need to help us, because if he don't get to this, he's never going to be able to live with it. He said, I don't plan for him to. I believe the same way he does. We're fixing to go in there and pray. Say 2 weeks later, Mike walked out of that hospital. You've seen him rolling that stuff up out there like there's nothing wrong with him. It's time some of us started believing what the Word of God says and get the mind of Christ and quit listening to this other junk. Woo! Oh, that's good stuff. Hello? Secondly, we need to surrender total and complete control of our lives to God. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? The hardest thing you'll ever do is turn your life over to God. Because when you do, you ain't in control no more. Let's cut to the chase. We need to recognize something. Something or someone you're going to control your mind. It's just a matter if it's the sinful nature of man or it is the power of Almighty God. Our sinful nature is going to take us to death. However, the Spirit controls our mind. The outcome is life and peace. Hello? You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. It appears that the mind of Christ in the Holy Bible, the written word speaks about something that moves in and out of our possession in varied degrees. Let's put it this way. We're fully and completely surrendered to God, or that way we're able to discern his will and to know what God wants for our life. You say, what are you getting at? Too many people want to straddle the fence. They want to try to get in when they need to and get out when it ain't necessary. It won't work that way. You either sell out to God or you ain't out at all. The Bible said no man can serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. You can't get in the middle and be pulled both ways. You're either on one side of the fence or the other. There is no fence straddling when it comes to God. Amen. And church, listen, the Bible said, my children know my voice. Now, I've had people come to me and say, brother, the Lord spoke to me, and just as soon as they got it out of their mouth, I knew God ain't said a word to them. Are you judging them? No. But when they started talking, it was contrary to this book. God ain't never told nobody anything contrary to this book. Well, he might. My Bible said he doesn't even have a shadow turning in him since he managed to put this book on here for us to read. He ain't going to change it. Come on, church, not yet. We ought to know the voice of God. God has never spoken to me audibly, but I know when he speaks. And I can take you to times in my life that I can tell you for sure that I know God spoke to me and God told me what to do in my life and I understood I needed to follow him. Amen. Come on, church. But some of us want to hear from God so bad. We're like the guy that he'd come in every morning and he'd go back in the back room and he'd pray, oh, God, just speak to me. Oh, God, just speak to me. He worked all night at a factory. One morning he's back there and he hears a muffled voice saying, run 5 miles. He said, oh, God, I don't know if I can do that. I ain't never run much in my life. But, oh, God, if you do, tell me again. He hears the voice going, run 5 miles. He jumps up and pulls his tennis shoes on. He told his wife, said, baby, I got to run 5 miles. God spoke to him, and he runs out the door. Of course, a mile down the road, he totally collapses. They got to call the paramedics. They bring him back to the house. They got him on the couch. His neighbor comes in, and he's talking to the wife. He says, yeah. She said, I don't know. He just run out of the house like an idiot, run down the road and collapsed. He told him, he said, what's wrong? He said, well, I was praying God speak to me, and I heard a voice saying, run 5 miles. He said, oh, my. He said, what? He said, my parrot's out, and he's probably in your attic, and all he knows how to say is run 5 miles. You need to know the voice of God. And if you know Christ, you will know his voice. Come on, church. Amen. Cleve Staples Lewis, you know him as C.S., wrote this, the weight in a book called The Weight of Glory. God cannot bless unless he has us. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we try to keep an area of death. Therefore, in love, he claims all. There's no bargaining with him. Hello? I'm going to hurry. Some of y'all more worried about chili than you are the renewing of your mind. Thirdly, we need to wage war with evil. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? In our modern day society, we have trouble accepting the fact that there really is a Satan. There are people sitting in this building right now that thinks I'm an idiot if I say there's a real devil outside who wants you, who wants to destroy you, who has one purpose, take everybody he can to hell. Hell was never created for one human being. It was created for the devil and the fallen angels. The only reason people go to hell is they won't have it any other way. But isn't it a shame that there are people in this world that absolutely will not accept the fact there's a real devil? I mean, they make jokes about it. They say, oh, yeah, he's just old slew-footed thing. Let me tell you something. The devil's the most beautiful creature God ever created. He's not some slew-footed, horned idiot with a tail hanging out his back and a pitchfork fork in his hand. He was an angel of light, a very bright light. He made music to make you just to immediately just roll up because he used to lead all the worship in heaven until he fell. Come on, church, smile at me. It's in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Amen. There is a real devil. He has a purpose in life. That's to destroy you. I'm not giving you some fairy tale. I'm not trying to scare you into going to church and paying your tithes. I'm trying to keep you from going to an eternity without God. He's trying to take you there, and he'd love for you to say, oh, yeah, this. There's no devil. Oh, there's no such thing as a devil. I got news for you. There is a real devil. There are imps in hell who want to take you to hell. And the next time the devil comes against you, you need to understand how to resist him. The next time the devil tries to get you to do something you don't want to do by putting a thought or something in your mind that doesn't need to be there, immediately you need to rebuke it in your mind. You don't have to talk out loud, but in your mind you need to say, get out. I'm not going to do it. I'm not following that. And then follow it up with scripture and look at the devil and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And my Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's why I make the statement, the devil's looking for those he may devour. I'm not edible. I know what it is to have the devil get after you. I mean, let's face it, church, the higher up the mountain you go, the harder the wind's going to blow and the more he's going to try to take you out. He's not always going to attack you in the front. He's not stupid. A frontal attack gets him whipped. Now you tell me this. 20 years in ministry. I'm going through some stuff. I'm feeling down. I've had somebody make some statements and got my family tore up. I wanted to go find him and tear him up. God kept him away from it till I settled down, because I'll be honest with you, if I'd have walked into his presence the first few days after he did what he did and told the lies he told, you wouldn't have to worry about him pastoring a church now that he pastors. Glory. Hello? I'm still working on the forgiveness side. But at least I didn't go do to him what I wanted to. Before I got saved, it wouldn't have been no problem. I'd have found him and took care of them teeth he had in the front of his face so he couldn't talk like that no more. Don't look at me like that. I didn't do it, but the first thought I had was, on the way home, I'll look for him. Luckily, he wasn't anywhere around. I was trying to pray through about it. I had some other things going on, didn't have me feeling real good, so I was about ready to just throw up my hands and quit. I stop on the way home at a local grocery store. I didn't know they started selling hard liquor in grocery stores, but they was in this particular county. I go back there to get me a Mountain Dew, and I look down, and they some of my old favorite Mountain Dew. Cool, clear, 180-something proof vodka. And it's going, hey, remember me? I don't have a smell. Nobody will know you drank me. You might not can walk after a bottle of this, but they won't know you drank it. Y'all ain't never been messed up. Your brain will play tricks on you. I know that bottle wasn't talking, but my brain was. And it was saying, that's some good stuff. It'll help you right now. It'll calm your nerves, settle you down. I could have pulled that bottle out and bought it. But I looked up and said, ain't going to do that. I don't do that no more. I'm free. Somebody said, oh, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I beg to differ. Once you're born again, you're new. Hallelujah. Amen. You get your mind renewed. You don't have to go back to the junk. Come on, church. Whew, that's good stuff. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? You got to learn how to resist the devil, how to be an overcomer in his power. Listen, the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans to us about this. Romans chapter 7. Listen, I'm not going to be much longer. I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You ever have that struggle? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Let me ask you something, church. If your brain controls everything your body does, if you get your brain in the right place, you don't have the problems some of you got. Hello? You don't have to get up on Sunday morning and decide, do I go this week or next week? Because your brain's going to say, we need to go to church. You don't have to choose, am I going to do right or wrong? Your body is not going to be ruling. Your brain will. Your brain will make the proper things and your body will follow. But Paul's sitting there talking about, oh, Lord, I got a problem. My body wants to do one thing. My brain wants to do the other. That's common. The flesh is going to be the flesh. The only way to control it is be submissive with the mind of the Spirit. Oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Lord, would you put Romans chapter 8 verse 1 up there? You just click it over. It should be right next to it. But notice this is a continuing statement. Paul's not sitting there saying, I'm defeated. I can't handle it. I can't get my mind, my body to work together. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's he talking about? Because the life in the Spirit hath made me free of the laws of sin and death. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When I get my mind into the mind of Christ, my flesh no longer rules me. I rule the flesh with the mind of Christ. And therefore I am in charge with the glory of God on my side, and I no longer am in bondage to sin. I have not received the bondage of slavery, but I am free because it is my Father which is in heaven. Could you say, oh, come on, church, that's good preaching. The results of getting your mind transformed: Satan is defeated, guilt is removed. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Psalms 19 verse 12. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let not them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. John chapter 8, verse 36, it said this: for the Son therefore shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. The battle is not mine, it's God's. And if I sell it out to God, God takes my sins and he buries them in the depth of the sea. Michael chapter 7 verse 19, and God then will turn. He will take my transgressions and he will drop them into the depth of the sea. They're never coming back. They're gone. I'm not guilty anymore. Finally, I take my seat in God's will, because I know how to discern the will of God for my life. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not just doing something. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Let me tell you something, church. You can be happy working for God and not be in his will. God will even bless you to some extent, even if you're not in his will. Brother Floyd Lahan, that's been here and preached for us, was pastoring a church in Georgia. In 3 years, he took in 3,000 members. God was blessing that church. 20-some-odd years before that, God gave him a vision of a church that exploded in his vision. And a new church took its place. Then it blew up again, and another church took its place. And he was thinking, man, this church has exploded. We're fixing to build in a new place. Everything's going to be wonderful. This is where God wanted me to be, and I'm here. And he's sitting in his house one night, and the Lord speaks to him and says, you need to resign. I'm going to move you somewhere else. He said he was so engrossed he didn't realize he was talking out loud when he said, I ain't going nowhere. And his wife said, what are you talking about? And he said, honey, I ain't talking to you. She started wondering if he was having problems. The overseer of California calls him. He says, I know this is kind of strange, but I got a church out here that just off the cuff told me to call and see if you'd come be their pastor. He said, there ain't no way. He said, well, you don't even know anything about it. He said, I don't even know nothing about it. I'm happy. I'm staying here. You know what he said? The Lord spoke to him and said, if you stay here, I'll bless you because you've been faithful to me. But if you want to see my hand in your life, go where I want you to go. He goes to preach in California to meet at some kind of meeting. They're driving down the road, and the overseer drives him by this little church, averaging 150 on Sunday morning. He's running nearly 4,000 in Georgia. Tithes are a little over 4,000 a month. And he says, hey, hit the brake a minute. He stopped and he said, what are you talking about? He said, that church on the church on top of the hill up there. I've seen that church before. It's the church he saw in the vision 20-something years earlier. Not just a church, but the exact church. The overseer said, well, Floyd, that's the church I called you about. He said, do what? He said, hey, He got red carpet? He said, yeah. He says, Presbyterian church, pulpit's off to the side. He said, yeah. He said, oh my, you don't have to ask me nothing else. I want that church. He said, preacher, what happened? You ever watch Jensen Franklin preach at the church on Sunday night in California that he now pastors? Around 4,000 or 5,000 people? That's the church Floyd Hahn went to in California. When he retired, Jensen Franklin was appointed pastor of that church, and that's the church he pastors in Orange County, California. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? He saw the blessings of God, but better still, he stayed in the will of God. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? When you renew your mind and you get the mind of Christ, you understand the will of God for your life. And can I tell you, everybody in this building, God's got a will for you. You need to find that will and get in it. You may not be the preacher. You may not be the Sunday school teacher, but God's got a purpose for you in this body. And just as the body has to have every part. If this church is ever going to function right, everybody here needs to know the will of God for their life and get in that wheel and become a part of what God's trying to do. And when you do, we will be overcomers in the power, the grace, the glory of Almighty God. I'm closing. I was very happy in my life. January 2009, I went to prayer conference. I was enjoying life like you've never believed. I'd just been reelected to the council. God was putting his hand on me. I was very successful as an evangelist. According to what I understand, I was the first evangelist to ever be elected to the state council in the state of Alabama. Now, there was others served on that council as evangelists, but they were elected while they were pastoring. I had a schedule that was pretty solid for almost 20-some-odd months. I came by this church, and I heard the voice of God. It wasn't an audible voice, but God spoke to me and said, stop, and I stopped. And he said, I want you here. I started thinking like an evangelist. I said, well, they're changing pastors. As soon as a new man gets there, I'll hook him up for revival. And I started to lead the parking lot in that church. I know the voice of God, and I knew God was speaking to me, but I wasn't comprehending what he was saying until that car stopped with my foot on the gas. And when that car stopped right out here in the parking lot, well, my foot mashed on the accelerator. That car sat and stayed still and the motor accelerating. I said, whoa, 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 something's up. God said, I want you here. I said, God, I'm not a pastor. I don't have the heart of a pastor. God said, I've been training you for 30-something years. Don't you think I know what you can do? I spent about 30 minutes walking around this church praying. I don't have to tell you the end results. I walked in and told my wife I wanted to go to Alabaster for the first time in her life. She said, you need to talk to the overseer. I about had a heart attack. Every other time I said, hey, I feel like I need to go pastor in a lot larger churches. I had an opportunity to go to a church around 10,000 people in New York as an associate, and all I had to do was preach. And I was going, yeah, this is me. She said, write me. Had a guy in North Carolina offer me a church running 200, and the air is fixing to explode. He now runs close to 600 at that church. And I was all excited. I said, hey, he just wants to come back to Alabama. We can swap. We can move up here. She said, he asked about the church or nothing. She said, I ain't moving to North Carolina. When Alex was first born, I was offered an Assembly of God church in Alexandria, Louisiana. They paid me more than y'all pay me right now. But I didn't feel led of God to go there. And I said, no. I don't know why God put me here. But I know he didn't put me here to keep spinning my wheels, and I'm ready to do something. I'm looking for the mind of God, but I need some others to get their mind renewed and get a hold of God and get the will of God in their lives so we can move this community for the glory of God. God has set this church on the precipice of a great outpouring and a move of His Spirit, but we're going to miss it if we don't get on board with what God's doing. And our time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's time to forget about the past. It ain't never coming back. But there is a tomorrow that this church needs to grab a hold of, and we need to start nurturing what God's ready to do, and we need to let God begin to move in our lives. And when we do, I believe with all my heart, God's going to open a harvest like we never thought could happen, and we're going to see God do things we never thought would ever take place if we'll just let our mind go to God and let God's will be done in our lives. Stand with me all over the house. I love you, Lord. God, I believe you for your grace, for your power, for your anointing.